There's no woman out there sitting on the side of the road with an empty tank of gas thinking, you know what? I would give my left tit and a beej for a tank of premium right now.
Some sweet, sweet premium.
Yes.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I really wanted to address this today.
What?
It's the prelude to Tales.
I didn't mean to say what. I don't know how that came out. What is it, Jaquetta?
But I'm hoping you can help me out with this because it is, I wanted to find out what a demon is.
For real.
Because you've talked about it before.
Yes.
And so I had to go to a Catholic website.
Oh, you did?
Because in Catholicism, demons are real.
Right.
So maybe you can chime in on this one as a Catholic, or raised as a Catholic. So the question is, dear Father Fortea, can you explain what exactly a demon is? Do they have bodies? Where do they come from? And I'm like, these are my questions too.
Okay. Right? It should be everybody's questions, really.
The short answer is, a demon is a spiritual being of angelic nature that has been condemned for eternity due to his rebellion against God.
Yes.
Right. So this I did not know. But a demon is not made up of matter. It's all spirit.
Like 100%.
It's 100% spirit. So because they don't have a body, they can't commit the sins of the flesh, which are like what? Like,
oh, but ours do. The ones that we read about, they come in and
That's why I was curious, because the demon can't do anything like with lust, gluttony, all these kind of the sins of the flesh that you have to have a body to do.
Okay.
They can just suggest it to other people. So they can get you to commit a sin of the flesh.
Oh, really?
But they themselves, they can't really do it.
They can influence you.
That's as much as they can do.
Yeah,
because they're all spirit.
That's right, because the devil, you know, Beelzebub, was the first fallen angel.
And the demons are the other one. I guess they fell right behind him.
Well, why does he get to be the big one?
According to this, it says here, demons are just bad angels.
Okay.
So there were a lot of angels. And then some of them, so you get the choice as an angel. They're like, God is like, hey, do you want to go over here or do you want to go over there? Some of them were like, we're going to go over there. And he was like, all right, then get out. And these are the
and
demons.
Go. Okay.
And then go. So they
lose their wings.
They're bad angels.
Okay.
They get thrown out. And this is why they're ugly.
Oh.
Because apparently on the way down, things happen. They become disfigured. You know, they're
tormented.
Gravity happens. Hair gets onto them. You know, their facial features get all messed up. And they see God as an oppressor to their freedom because they want to be free
to
do
their stuff.
They're
fighting man.
So they're just bad. So they try to get us to do bad things because they can't physically do anything.
Well they can't. So they want to be bad.
They want to be
bad. They can't.
Because they don't have a body.
So they're frustrated.
They're frustrated.
And so they're
frustrated. And they hate banks. They're upset.
They hate what?
The banks. They're angry at the system.
Okay.
So it says how they fight amongst themselves. It says, how can purely spiritual beings fight amongst themselves? Good question.
Yeah.
What weapons do they use? They said that their battles are intellectual.
Oh.
So it's like thinking bad thoughts or trying to transpose bad thoughts onto other people. That's how they do their thing.
With each other, but no, with us.
Yes, with us. So they use us to get back at the system.
Oh,
that they
okay.
got kicked
so,
out of.
All right, so then they're making us do things with their thoughts.
Sounds a lot like free will, but
yeah,
it says some angels are deformed because of the battle. Okay. So I guess they tried to fight a little bit, which doesn't make any sense.
Wait, there was a big battle.
There's a huge battle between the Michael and his angels.
Michael the Archangel.
And then the guys on the other side who are led by the devil.
Right.
So that's their leader.
Okay.
So they lost because apparently Michael and his angels beat the piss out of them.
Because that's what Michael's
fighter. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And some of them just got, you know, banged up in battle.
Okay.
So, you know, black eyes.
And that's
busted
like their
up
stain.
Nose. Yes. And this is how they end up. So now that we have that together, now that I understand what a demon was, I found this tale from the campfire. So can you introduce me?
Yes. Okay, listeners, this is Tales from the Campfire, wherein we read a ghost story, a story of fake lore, a myth, an urban legend.
Yeah.
We retell it to you here around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so everybody gather around real fast. This is from 1989.
Okay.
So this was a site that I found. It's all Tales from Sweden. particularly from Gothenburg, which apparently is a very demonic city. So this guy, this guy says, the first demon I ever identified was back in 89. This guy is soaking wet. He's at the bus station. He walked 5 blocks. It had been raining all day. The street was turning into a lake. There was no mass transit to be found. So he gets inside the bus shelter. And then he says that he sees a woman of Semitic heritage. So this is Scandinavia. So I'm like, this could be anyone with a tan, anyone with dark hair. Like, it could be anybody. Yeah. Right? And he asked a question to her, as she'd seen a bus or something like that, and she answered in a peculiar non-human voice, which I can just imagine just wasn't Swedish.
Yeah.
And she tried to hide her face with a scarf.
Well, she didn't want to talk to him. She thought she was going to get attacked by him. Because it always starts off with something like, what time is it?
Yeah. Then he said, yeah.
How
long you been waiting?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
She just was like, wanted to sound tougher.
Wanted to mind her own business,
and
right?
She's like, yeah, whatever.
He noticed that even though everything else was wet, she was dry.
Well, she got there early.
She got there early.
Yeah.
Maybe she had something called an umbrella and it broke. Who knows? Maybe she got off a bus and just went into the bus shelter. Fine. So he wonders, how was she able to enter the bus shelter without getting wet? She had no umbrella. And then he saw what seemed to be a gross outgrowth on her back.
She had a hump. Aww.
And at first I thought it was a hump, but it wasn't.
Oh.
It was a pair of black wings.
Nice.
Neatly folded up.
Folded outside?
On her back.
But her back was exposed?
Yeah, I guess she had a shawl over it. So it's like he saw something, a hump, but he looked closer, feathers.
Oh.
Yes. So at this time in his life, though, he wasn't on the lookout for demons. He didn't know anything about them. And then he didn't know what to do, but he stared at her for several minutes before the spell broke. Now, this woman is probably like, quit looking at me.
Oh, God. It's just like, when will this night end? I gotta get out of here. But you know what? If those were wings, she would have flown out of there because of this creepy guy.
You know how demons do, though. They try to keep it on the low. He pulled at her clothes and exposed a blackened breast. It was the tit of the demon for sure. He says. Then he froze up like a man at the face of death.
Oh.
Sounds like a bitch. Then he tried to, apparently she attacked him at this point.
Well, he's staring at her.
She was like, I'll have no candy for you.
Right. And how did he get to the exposed breast?
I guess they were in the tussle. One breast fell out and it was the tit of death. Right? She started screaming and then he ran like hell.
Oh.
Then it took him a long time to figure out what had happened. Maybe she was on her way to a masquerade. Maybe it had been an illusion.
And did he feel bad at that
point? Maybe he was having a flashback. He wasn't sure. But then he realized it was probably a fallen angel related to either Lilith, you know that one.
Yeah, of course.
Or Nama, or some other equal demon. He said, in any case, she was definitely dangerous. As a fallen angel, her primary work would lie not in death, but in misery and in the affairs of men and women. Haven't seen her again yet.
How can we? This is crazy. So he saw a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's staring at her.
He's staring at her.
And then
he thinks he sees. Well, the thing is
he
like,
asked her a question. And you don't do that at bus stops.
No. She responded in a non-human.
And she was trying to blow him off.
She was trying to blow him off.
I don't want to engage.
But the problem here is the wings.
It was probably just another shawl.
It's a cheap fur.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? How bizarre.
It's touching.
And there's tons of these things.
She had a black bra.
The tit of death.
Yeah, because she's wearing a black bra.
So this is one person's like demon sighting from 1980. It just says number one.
He can't even admit what a jerk he was.
That he harassed a woman in a bus shelter.
Yeah, and then he's like, oh, she was the demon.
Now, can you imagine? You're sitting there minding your own business. Some dude comes over, starts messing with you, and then he runs off screaming. Leaving you looking like you did something.
Traumatized
on
top of it.
With your tit out. Apparently the tit fell out and she didn't bother to put it back in. It might have been a wardrobe malfunction. Who knows?
She's freaked out.
Yes.
She's been trying to avoid this guy.
She's like, maybe he'll just look at the tit and move on.
Yeah.
If I jiggle it a little bit, they'll be mesmerized by it. He did sit there for a while.
Yeah.
Crazy demon. So a demon is just a... It can't take a physical form. It can't do anything physical.
Mm-hmm.
It has to get us to do...
stuff.
Weird stuff.
According
to the Catholic Church. I would say that they are probably the experts on demons. It seems to be more of a religious
Yeah, because it, the idea is if
you believe, exercise them.
Because if you believe in God and angels, and yeah. on the good side, there has to be something has to be on some the bad negative side. As well. So it's like, oh, the demon.
Devil. I didn't know. I really thought that demon was just kind of a catch-all phrase for things. But now we know it's a very specific type. It's a Absolutely. Fallen angel who is apparently unattractive.
And needs to put bad thoughts in your head.
Yeah, and is to put bad, yeah, trying to put bad thoughts in your head. All Interesting. Right. Demons.
Yeah.
And then the next link was on how to exercise, and I was like, we don't need to know how to do that.
Yeah.
We determined that before, that in order to be an exorcist, it's lots of practice.
Yeah.
Lots of hours. So what do you have?
Okay, I have this. This is an article that I read. It's called The Most Crass Dating App Ever.
Ugh. There's so many terrible ones already. Right. I can't even imagine.
So there's dating apps, dating websites, all kinds of things.
So right? Are the dating apps, it's you're trying to hook up with somebody kind of thing?
Yeah, this okay. one is called...
But you don't have time to sit down at a computer because you're that busy.
Yeah.
That you're on your phone walking down the street and you need a date.
Okay. It's called carrot dating.
And is there stick dating also?
Basically. All right. That would be a terrible app. After I read this, then we'll revisit stick dating.
Stick dating. Well, is that a carrot and stick?
No. You know? But then this is only about the carrots.
Okay.
There's only one method of manipulation that has stood the test of time.
So is it carrot like a 5-carat diamond, or is it carrot like the
dangling, Bugs Bunny eating? Dangling the carrot in front of you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one method of manipulation that's stood the test of time, and that's bribery. That's what the guy who founded Carrot Dating, the new dating app, says.
Okay. Well, I guess he's right. I didn't know bribing entered into dating.
The world's first bribe for a date app. This app lets users entice potential partners into romantic...
Did you say losers? What was that? Was it a loser interface? A loser experience?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, this app lets the losers or users entice potential partners into romantic outings by offering them gifts such as plastic surgery or a tank of gas.
I'm sorry, that's a wide berth.
Yeah, because he says because messaging may get her interested, but bribery will get you a date.
So if I okay,
good God,
let's say Katie and I need a tank of gas.
Yeah.
Once we get the gas, do we have to then reciprocate with a date?
Yes.
Okay. I don't like it.
No, it says here.
I could trade a tank of gas for the promise of a date that won't be fulfilled.
It's pretty clear the founders of this app, not to mention the author of this press release, are actively courting outrage. A quote from
that's what they're looking for.
A quote from the founder reads goadingly: "Women like presents, like dogs like treats."
Okay.
But the fact that this level of misogyny is being monetized and marketed and put into practice is disturbing
and genius. These guys, women are going to walk away from this thing with tanks of gas with plastic surgery, and not a single guy is going to get even a one beige out of this. Because it's not binding.
No.
It's like if we make a contract for slavery, fine, you can make the contract, but...
Yeah, it's like... It's right. Like Carrot already has 30,000 users of both genders.
Losers.
Women can bribe men, too.
Why?
Why would you do that?
Why? You don't need to.
Yeah. The taglines include, dangle your carrot.
No, I will not, sir. I respectfully decline to dangle anything.
What? You know, there's other dating sites that, you know, are like called seekingarrangements.com. Those are people looking for, they're married, right?
Okay, basically, I don't know. Arrangements?
Yeah, they're in relationships with other people, but then they're seeking arrangements.
I'm going to start an app that's just called Free Fuck, because that's what people want.
Oh no, this is Seeking Arrangements is actually a sugar daddy dating site that pairs young women with rich older men.
Mm-hmm. It's just called a bar, like on the Upper East Side.
Then there's another one, whatsyourprice.com.
whatsyourprice.com? This is
and
hard,
either
though.
Men bid on dates with women.
How do I know what I'm worth out there? I mean, it's the whole problem that's in the free marketplace of, like, you know, not enough information.
Right.
I may be getting a free tank of gas and realizing that I'm worth, like, a whole car.
Right. You don't even know.
You have no idea.
And then there's MissTravel.com, which links up attractive women with generous men who want travel companions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Getting into prostitution
here.
Yeah. But...
which I feel like prostitutes are doing fine.
You know? Like, yeah, right. They don't need an app.
There's not a bunch of prostitutes out there who's like, you know what? I could use an app for this. Because the oldest profession is just not, you know, it's not working out for me right now.
Yeah, it's like falling off for some reason.
Yeah. This could be biting into prostitutes, though, legal. I mean, you know, they're out there doing their thing. Now you have women who are not prostitutes trying to get free tank of gas.
Yeah, it says carrot dating claims to be performing a service that is motivating people to go on dates with those who otherwise might reject. And therefore, like, opening their minds. Like, give the guy a chance. Why should I give him a chance?
I don't know.
Why should I give him a chance? Well, he's going to give you a free tank of gas.
I'm sorry. If anybody out there is willing to give it away for a free tank of gas, this is probably not the person
I want.
Isn't
the date? If a guy asks you out, he's going to take you somewhere. That's like the...
I think maybe they're not doing it anymore. Maybe they're trying to bring that back. Although I can't imagine if when I was single, if a guy was like, you know what? Would you like a free tank of gas? Like, that's not... You know what I mean?
That's not...
Ooh. Like a meal.
Suddenly, it's like so much sexier.
But you know, if a guy's taking you out for a meal and lots of drinks, then, you know, he's hoping that something will come of it.
Yeah.
And that's like the way we've kind of set things up. So
because
that's
you're socializing. Yes. You're socializing.
But the tank of gas implies that what? So we're going to go to a gas station, quick ba-bing, in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
In the attendance area.
At least an HJ.
Yes, at least an HJ.
And it doesn't fit, right. Yeah.
He's going to fill up your Hyundai.
Because eating and drinking or going to a movie is a social activity.
Yeah,
so
that's a dating activity. Activity,
yeah, yeah.
But going to Amoco ain't. Like, really?
A tank of gas.
Or plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So I'm coming into the date and you're like, you know, there's a lot of things you could really do to fix yourself up before this goes any further. Right. Like these boots.
Well, yeah, right. It's like, if you give me a new rack.
Yeah. Then I'll have a meal with you? That sounds very, like, it sounds like the guy's getting slighted a little bit here.
Yeah, yeah. Or then there has to be some kind of contract of like, I will let you look at them.
Yeah.
And touch them.
Yeah. Oh, but what? Maybe it's the people.
With your hands only.
Maybe it's the guy selling the gas or the guy that's selling the boob job that's behind this. Because really, he's the winner. The plastic surgeon is the winner in this deal.
Yeah.
You got women out there who want a boob job who can't afford it, who want to go on a date. You got a guy who can afford a boob job but can't get a date. In the end, in that transaction, the plastic surgeon wins.
It just sounds almost like, you know, a grab bag filled with different wants.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you have to just pick out what you
need.
Yeah,
yeah. And you put yours in, you put your wants in, right? And then some random dude's going to be like, hey, you're going to get a free tank of gas. Oh, you have to go out with me. Oh, okay. And then you go ahead and reach in because you have to do something.
But if someone else gets like a diamond, I'm getting the tank of gas.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that I'm only going to get a tank of gas out of this thing. That's how I feel about myself. I'm like, I think I'm just going to always be offered a tank of gas. And that's not what I want.
Yeah, then my guy with the tank of gas is going to be like, you don't even have a car.
Yeah. Does it have to be premium?
Yeah.
I don't care if I have a car. I still want the tank of gas. There's another exchange site that's the stick one, where you can take what you've gotten from Carrot and use it for and barter it for something else you really want. You're like, I didn't want a tank of gas. I actually want a nice meal. So you can take that tank of gas and turn it into...
And you have to trade with somebody who wants that tank of gas,
but wants wants to take you out on a date, but wants something in exchange.
No, it's like all the girls that are like, I'll give you...
So it's like a gift card.
Yeah.
You have one for the Gap, I have one for the Limited. Let's exchange.
Right.
Who is doing this? And it is dating...
30,000 people.
This is why more women need to go into technology, because they're creating apps, they're creating solutions for things that are not problems.
Yeah.
There's no woman out there sitting on the side of the road with an empty tank of gas thinking, you know what? I would give my left tit and a beej for a tank of premium right now.
Some sweet, sweet premium.
Yes. Or if you're environmental and snazzy, I just need to plug this car in for a couple hours somewhere. Wink, wink. You know, I don't, that's so bizarre and nasty.
Okay.
I feel like if you see that app on someone's phone, you need to stop having any kind of dealings with that person.
Yeah.
Like, if I look and see a friend of mine is using Carrot, we're
done.
You're
gonna be like, wait.
We're done. And I noticed that, like, you know, before Katie never had any gas in her car. Now she's driving everybody around all the time.
Hey.
Hey. Why not?
Can you come pick me up, Katie? Sure.
Yeah, no problem. Give me about 20 minutes. I got this app.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So I have a thing here. I found, why does work suck?
Okay, why?
that's the title of the article. It said, let's assume for a moment that you were an alien that came to visit. This is like someone who learned how to write in life.
Oh my God.
Oh, which, it's on Huffington Post. The other person didn't get paid. It's probably like an infomercial type of thing. So imagine for a moment that you were an alien that came to visit Earth. What would your impression be if you observed employees today and how they work? I would be like, they still have slavery? And now it's inside. So they did a Gallup poll. I think Gallup has run out of things to do polls on. And they showed that 70% of American workers are not engaged in their jobs.
Nobody has to be an alien to understand this.
That work sucks. And it says 18% of the employees... I'll wait till you finish. Because I don't want you to...
Oh, thank you.
Okay. 18% of the employees are actively working against companies. That leaves 2% of people...
Really?
...who are doing the work.
So if you have... If you have 100 people in your company, 18 are willfully sabotaging
yes,
you.
Yes, they're working for your competitors, or they're just trying to, like, screw it up for you. And then 70%...
They're, like, spitting
aren't
in,
doing
in
anything.
The soup.
And then 2% is, like, you and your co-founder. The people who are working.
Right.
And then it says you don't even need research reports or statistics. Just ask some of your friends. So they're trying to figure out in this article, why does work suck? I'll tell you why work sucks, because it's work.
Yeah.
And people don't want to do that. There's another thing called play. That's what we're doing here right now.
Right, that's awesome. Right. Work
is... Unfortunately, play doesn't pay.
It's something that you would rather not do.
Yeah.
But someone's like, I need it and done, and I'll give you something for it, which
yeah.
is money.
You're exchanging... It goes back to the basics. You're saying, I don't really want to be here, but, oh, you're going to give me a salary and some benefits? Sure, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It beats being poor.
Right.
In some cases. It says here, if you look up the synonyms for employee in the dictionary, and I was really surprised at this, you find cog, slave, and servant. These are not real synonyms nowadays.
Not.
And I don't ever remember watching a film about slavery where they were like, let me get my employees around here. There's no house employees and field employees. You know what I'm saying? And it says if you look up work, if you look up manager, now these are the synonyms for manager. Zookeeper?
No.
Boss or slave driver?
Who's coming up with the synonyms?
I don't,
synonyms.
That guy. That's who. But it says, now new technologies are giving employees a voice inside of their companies. No, it's the same. It's the same. Nobody wants to speak up at work. And then it says that in the future, employees will work for a company because they want to. Not, are you okay? Not because they have to. If people didn't have to work for you, believe it. You would go to your office and it would be empty.
Yeah.
There'd be nothing. There'd be maybe one or two people who are like, I don't have a computer at home.
Right, right. But... In the future, people will want to go to work.
Mm-hmm. People do want to go to work now to get paid.
Yeah.
So they can eat and do things that they enjoy.
There's some people who enjoy their jobs, but they're usually working for themselves.
Yeah. We're working
because they want to do this.
Or it's like I've had, when I was younger, sometimes I would do the holiday work,
mm-hmm.
like working in retail around the holidays. That was something I wanted to do. It was fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a diversion from my regular, you know, normal job that I was like, you know.
Yeah, you do something good. Go to a trade show.
Yeah.
For a day.
There are things that can keep you occupied, but this, why does work suck? Because it's work.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why it's called work. We call it something else. We call it, hey, you know it. Yes.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. Huffington Post, obviously, still not paying their writers.
Oh, God.
So what do you have?
I have unpopular science.
Sweet. So I am freaked out by the coming robopocalypse, and I'm making Katie upset about technology as well.
Yeah.
We'd like to report on what's going on in technology and how we're going to be controlled by our robot overlord. So what do you have?
Well, this is a scientific advancement that is...
Oh, no. I feel like it should be the 50s, and it's like, boop, scientific advancement, boop. The microbe.
Researchers hope to control obesity through fecal transplants.
Excuse me?
Yeah. If you were not aware, fecal transplants...
No, I wasn't.
...have been known and they've been conducted throughout the world for several decades to fight superbugs.
Fecal transplants?
Yes.
So they're going to transplant fecal matter from somebody else?
Into you.
Into me.
Yes. If you don't respond to antibiotics or other medicinal therapies, fecal transplants have saved many lives.
Okay.
The procedure involves flushing out the patient's own bowel, ridding it as much as possible.
So this is the colonic irrigation.
Right. Then, what did they call the stuff that comes out is called a lavage.
That's right, lavage.
Lavage.
Yes. Lavage. Okay. Let's give as many pseudonyms as possible because it's freaking people out.
Then the lavage of a healthy person.
Who's donating lavage?
A healthy person.
I'm going to put, I need a lavage donor. Can you help me out? Come on. It's not going to, you know, we'll take you out for a good meal beforehand. Put that on carrot. Someone who needs lavage. in exchange for a date. It's a whole different, okay.
Well, then they say it's usually a relative of the patient.
Is it? I know somebody in my family asked me, I'd be like, say what?
Yeah,
they Lavage, take, you better go on. You better go on. What about a friend? No?
No.
Why is a relative's lavage better?
It usually is. I guess, you know.
We eat different things. I'm a vegetarian. No one in my family. Okay, whatever.
So the fecal matter, or the lavage, is made into a smoothie.
Stop.
Type blended with an addition of saline solution.
Uh-huh. And a hint of mint. It's lavage.
And it's infused into the patient either through the mouth or nose. Yeah. I said it.
They can't find another. Can't they put it in the way it came out?
Yeah, they do. They say you could do it like an enema, but it usually requires 5 to 6 treatments.
Okay.
And basically,
and you know what? I think I'd prefer that to one treatment of drinking a smoothie of lavage. I'm sorry, but...
So they did... So it's basically...
What if you can't keep it down?
Who can keep it down? Come on.
Yes, that's the question.
Basically, so what they have found is that it has a positive impact on weight loss and a metabolic syndrome.
So this is a thin person. Kate Moss's lavage. Is that a premium now? Lord.
So, you know, they found out if they did that, they did a study, and they did it on a, like, 18 obese men, and they had their bowels
flushed. No women. Because women wouldn't do it. They were like, I'll go to the gym. I'll just get comfortable with myself, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but of course, if you know that you've got someone else's lavage in you, you're not going to eat.
Yeah, your appetite is shot.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hungry now.
And what if you have someone else's fecal matter in you, that's probably going to make you a little sick.
Yeah.
So you're going to lose weight, right?
If the last thing you had was a lavage smoothie, you're not going to be too thrilled about, you know. So how does it work?
So they put it in.
The body is repulsed by it. That's what
basically. It's supposed to put in healthy bacterium that helps your digestive system and, you know, helps you clear out things better, I guess. And then it says here, it sustains, the secret is to sustain the levels of the right fecal parasites over a long period of time. Because
how many smoothies do I have? This is like a... This is like a week-long thing?
Because when insulin resistance is reduced, weight loss occurs quite naturally, but it takes time. So they have to keep putting it in.
Oh, my goodness. You see what people are willing to do?
Yeah. Well, they did it because first people were
That's
sick.
That's different.
And then they're like, oh, they're losing weight.
Because they were...
It's nasty.
Because it's disgusting. I mean, it's one thing to save someone's life, you know, with lavage, as it were. But that's so extreme to me. Seriously, there got to be. And like, how long do you have to stay on this lavage smoothie diet?
You have for several weeks. Several weeks.
I'm saying if you can do that, you could probably find other ways to modify your diet. If you have the willpower to suck down a lavage smoothie 3 times a day. You know what I mean? Maybe having the broccoli isn't so bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're going to be running for the salad bar.
Yes.
Put down the ice cream.
Yes.
Oh, yes, The Week in Bateman. Jason Bateman is an actor who is decent. We are not in love with him. We're not sexually attracted
to
him.
Not at all.
No.
No.
But he's decent, and we report on him every week. So this is The Week in Bateman.
So I have some straight from the horse's mouth. I went to the New York TV and Film Festival.
Oh.
And I saw a program where it was just talk back with Mitch Hurwitz, who is the creator of Arrested Development.
Oh, okay.
Jason Bateman plays the Michael Bluth. He was like the main character of Arrested Development. And so he was giving us some background information about how he was cast. Basically, he said he didn't want to cast Jason
Get
Bateman.
Get out, really?
Because he was like, I don't want to make a Jason Bateman pilot. Because like Will Arnett, Jason Bateman had been going around being in pilots, and those pilots were kicked to the curb.
Oh, God.
They didn't get on TV. They didn't make it.
They just saw his face and were like, forget it.
Yeah, they saw, literally he said, oh, I'm not doing that pilot. I'm not doing another Bateman pilot. I'm not interested. He really wanted Jeremy Piven.
Get out.
But then he said to himself in the back of his mind, he was like, do I want to get punched in the face at some point? Because apparently Jeremy Piven is known for, I guess, jumping up and punching people in the face.
Really?
Because he's very aggressive and very small.
And he'll just get up and punch you.
Jump up. He'll climb up. He'll scamper up on top of something. Maybe another person his size. I take a swing at you.
How tall is he?
I don't know.
We'll have to look that up.
But he's you know, a pretty small guy. So he said that Jason Bateman came in and they were just like,
really?
And then he read and he did it exactly the way that he performs in the show is the way he read it. And that's how he is in everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
what
yeah.
do you want? It's like if you ask us to read something, it's always going to be
the
us.
The same, yeah.
Right. You can call it whatever you want. So he said that he came in and he liked it so much that Jason Bateman told him he was going to go read for another pilot somewhere else. He was like, no, you don't do that.
Really?
So they knew right away that they wanted to have
him. So we want you all to ourselves, mm-hmm. Jason Bateman.
And he also thought that the studio was going to force him to take Jason Bateman. So he was like, might as well just do it voluntarily.
We could do it the easy way or the hard way. All right.
So when he took it back to the studio, they were like, interesting casting choice. So it was a really, and he talked about, and the interesting thing about Mitch Hurwitz, aside from all the stuff that you've read about him, he's a mimic.
What?
When he was talking about all the different characters, he would do like little bits of dialogue and he could mimic every single character.
No.
It was creepy.
Kidding.
And just quickly.
Did
like,
he tell you he was a mimic?
No. I don't think he knows he's a mimic, but he would just say, oh, and then we asked Jason something and then he would do what he said and then he would do the act out of Jason Bateman, but it was just naturally came out of him. It was incredible. It was creepy.
Wow.
To see him do Jeffrey Tambor, to see him do Michael Cera. Like, so that's our week in Bateman news.
That's
is that
excellent.
Jason Bateman was not supposed to be. But can you see Jeremy Piven?
That was a piece of gold, Jaquetta.
Yes, that was a nugget of gold as swathed in platinum and served to you on a diamond plate.
That's right.
If you will. And that's our week in Bateman.
And you know what? That's only you listeners know this. Nobody
yeah.
else and the people
well,
in that seminar.
And then there's a transcript online, apparently. But don't read it. It's better when I tell it.
Yes.
Because I was there. How cool is it? It was so cool to hear him talk about Arrested
really
Development.
Cool. That's really cool.
Apparently, in the remake, he's like, very few people were on set together. And this is something I didn't know about TV, is that they have the actors, so if the actor says something like, come on in, and they wanted it to sound like a question, in post, they edit the sound to make it sound like a question.
Really?
Yeah. They do all this crazy stuff. Like, they shoot the actors looking in different directions, and then they match it up with whatever they want. So, like, they'll take pictures of them smiling, looking in different directions, frowning, saying different words, saying different things, and they chop it all together almost like animation.
Wow.
Bizarre.
That is. It's creepy.
Yeah, I don't really
You're not
like
in control, actors.
No, you could say anything. You're like, I don't remember talking about my grandmother. Well, you know what you did. Because you said the word grand at some point, and you said mom at some point, and they put them together.
And that's it.
And that's it.
And you looked away.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are, now you're sad about your grandmom.
Yep. I have a piece of Jason Statham news.
Oh, Jason Statham.
This will be interesting because it says here, screencrush.com, Melissa McCarthy might buddy up with Jason Statham.
How many Jasons? She's just greedy now. She's taking all the Jasons in Hollywood.
The reason why this came up is because, you know, she'd worked with Jason Bateman, so I have a thing. It says, 2013 was the year of Melissa McCarthy buddy movies. She did Identity Thief, still haven't seen it, and The Heat, which I heard was quite good, saw a piece of it on the plane. So far, she's seen it with Jason Bateman and Sandra Bullock, but for Susan Cooper, she may have someone tougher to play against, Jason Statham. Deadline's reporting that Statham is in talks to join Cooper. I don't like these movies that don't tell me anything.
Yeah, yeah,
His
yeah.
last movie, Parker, bombed.
Oh.
So that's why they're putting him with Melissa McCarthy. He did this movie because, you know, he's the billion-dollar man, right?
Right.
And it says, Jason Statham mostly does low-budget action films, but the returns have been diminishing, with Parker unable to crack the $20 million market domestically. Usually his movies make $100 million domestically.
Yeah.
But it's like, how many of those movies can you watch? And you know I love me some Statham.
Oh, yeah, of course you do.
But come on.
He's your favorite. He's your go-to.
He's my go-to on Netflix. of course, he'll be high profile next summer when he stars as the villain of Fast and Furious 78,000.
Right.
But can you imagine? This is a buddy, like a buddy cop thing.
I didn't think he could do this.
Jason Statham and
Melissa McCarthy? That's like,
But here's where copyright infringement comes into, because they make a suggestion. They're doing a discount celebrity here. They said if he passes on it, if Statham says no, they expect Gerard Butler.
What?
Yes.
That's the wrong discount. They should have consulted us on
exactly.
that. We have to.
That is not the right discount at all, but I'm not interested in seeing Melissa McCarthy and Jason Statham in
Do
a
anything.
Film.
Do anything, you know. Oh, I can't even imagine, what are they going to talk about even?
You know what? At this point, maybe Jason Statham should just hang it up.
Yeah.
Hang those little tiny fists up.
They don't have to. They don't have to hang anything up. They just need to not be near each other.
Yes. But I mean, Jason Statham, he does action movies.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy does comedy movies. How is that going to... Jason Statham can't act, people.
Yeah, he's not funny.
No, and not at all. He's supposed to be running and kicking and jumping.
Well, and she can kick and jump.
Mm-hmm.
She can.
How much?
Yeah, but I know, but it's. I'm just saying.
You've seen in Jason Statham movies, he is hurled across the room. Yeah, I think he weighs like 4 pounds, maybe. Five.
Right.
He's like,
no, but I'm
five.
Saying she punches people in the neck, which I never gets old.
That doesn't get old.
Yeah.
You're right. That does not.
I don't know.
Old.
I just don't understand what I'm just dumbfounded, honestly.
I don't. Yeah,
it's the wrong discount. It's the wrong pairing.
Yes.
It's just the wrong all the way around idea.
So the Parker didn't make it. So now they're like, let's trust Cooper. Cooper is going to be. Mm-mm. No, Hollywood, no.
Hollywood.
No.
Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com and we'll give you better discounts.
Yeah.
That's all.
That's all. All right.
All right. Got some advice.
Oh, sweet. So this is a segment we do called Advice on Advice, where we find advice all over up in the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
Yeah. And we want to give you something better than that. So we give advice on this advice. So let's qualify this. What do we got?
All right. Here. We got.
Who's it from?
This is from Dear Prudence.
Okay.
Okay, Dear Prudence.
An endless well of just gold.
Right. 6 months ago, I landed a good job at a small but lucrative firm.
Mm-hmm.
There's one problem. My boss, who's the highest ranking person there, decided to stick me in his office.
Okay. Ooh.
I'm 2 feet
away. That's the worst place to get stuck, but okay.
I am 2 feet away from him at all times. There are other small offices.
That far? Are there desks across from each other? I once worked at a company with 2 people.
Yeah.
I was one of the 2 people.
Oh,
and
no.
The desks were facing each
no.
other. And I'm like, why would you do this? I would rather work in the John than be face-to-face with you. Okay.
I'm 2 feet away from him. There's another small office in our suite. My boss is notoriously cheap, and the word is he doesn't want to pay to rent extra space.
Okay.
Sitting in his office is unbearable. People are in and out all day to discuss things, and otherwise he is on the phone. It's totally distracting. If I print something while he's talking to someone or drop something and make a noise, he will stop what he's doing and give me a look.
This has been going on for 6 months.
If I'm searching on the web for something related to work, he'll peer over and ask me what I'm doing.
Oh, God.
If I put something in the shared trash can, he will inspect it.
Excuse me? This guy is crazy.
When I get up to use the bathroom, he asks me where I'm going.
Why do people put up with stuff like this? Do you know how long... This is not a black person. Because a black person, day one, would be like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, quit.
I'm out of here.
He's a nice enough guy.
Sure. Sounds like it. Sounds like a gem.
But it's just too much to have my boss breathing down my neck all day.
Literally.
I don't want to quit, but I'm at the breaking point. Should I approach him about having my own space, or is this just too pushy and demanding for someone new? Should I suck it up and be grateful to have a job?
No.
Too close for comfort. That's a...
I can't even... Can you imagine you just throwing away something? It's like, hey, what was that? I thought you just crumpled
what
something.
What are you doing? What are you looking at?
Where are you going? Oh, that's terrible.
You're looking at me? Making a noise? What?
Yeah. Shh. Don't print.
Dear Chase, here's the advice. You have to speak up before you snap.
Yeah.
And literally, don't snap.
Because that's what's going to happen. One day she's going to be sitting in there. She's going to pop in a piece of gum, crumple up the wrapper and throw it away. And he's going to be like... Oh, is that some gum? And she's going to be like, "Raw!"
That's it. And stab him with a pencil.
And it's going to be one of those things where the guy's on the ground, she just keeps beating, and people come in, they're like, come on, stop, he's down.
Yeah, right.
Like, stop.
Like in a Christmas story.
Yes.
Some wailing on it.
It's just a blind rage.
Yeah. I can just imagine a day you rise to go to the bathroom, your boss asks you what you're doing.
Yes. And you, yes.
In response, you relieve yourself in the joint trash can before handing it to him.
Ooh, I like that one too.
And suggesting he inspect the result. It's not pushy or demanding to seek an environment in which you can do your work without having every movement and keystroke analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's going to be awkward since he apparently likes your new orange is the new black cellmate situation.
Okay.
But if you're miserable and unproductive, then something has to change. The first thing one morning to tell him, like, you'd like to have a conversation. Explain, you'll be thrilled.
They're sitting next to each other. Does she have to schedule it with him? Can you imagine saying, like, bloop. Oh, I got an email. Oh, it's from you.
Yeah.
You want to have a conversation?
Email me back.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk.
I'll pencil it in.
Mm-hmm. Explain you're thrilled with the job. You're delighted to be at the firm and hope he's happy with your work. But you're requesting your desk be moved. Can I please move this desk?
Because, like, ostensibly there's other people who don't sit in there.
Yeah. Explain, you're one of those people who finds it hard to tune out ambient noise.
She clearly works for like a Michael Scott, David Brent type of situation. Yeah, like who would be okay with that as a boss?
Right. And if he refuses to consider it, then take your on your own time, in your own space.
Yes.
Polish up your resume. Unfortunately,
he's going to see you doing that, though.
No, on your own
in your
time.
Own time. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunate things happen when people reach their breaking point.
I would do it right there and be like, what are you working on? Resumes. Just like to keep it polished.
Yeah.
Could you give me a recommendation? Will you write it down? A self-starter can work in close quarters. I just work with salary requirements, own desk.
Strengths.
Yes.
Working alone.
Yes. Space.
Yeah.
Sometimes I've worked with a lot of crazy bosses before, and I always wonder, I'm like, how come no one has said anything to you? You know what I mean? Not enough black people in the office. Not enough people who are just willing to get fired and say something.
You know, because, you know, if people speak up, then it's like they're gone.
But it's like, I
it's the whole thing where if you disrupt the whole, the structure of
then
the
it's
office.
You.
Yeah.
It's just so bizarre to me because I have quit at pretty much every job I've ever had. Sometimes because I didn't want to be there anymore. Sometimes it was just like I had to do something new with my life. But I would love to get that job just so I could, after a week, be like, you know what? Let me tell you something that no one else has been able to tell you. This is some BS.
Right.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
See somebody. How crazy is that?
That's pretty crazy.
Why would you ever think that that would be okay?
Yeah, sit in my office with me.
Yeah.
And watch you. It's just that power thing. It's like
this is why work sucks.
Yeah.
This is why I said when the aliens come, they will be like, oh, slavery inside.
Yeah.
At a desk. It would be even better if she had one of those desks where you have to stand and be on a treadmill.
Right.
They keep pushing that. Remember that was like about a year ago? That was like
the
big thing.
I tried one out.
Yeah. How was it?
It was awful. It was terrible. It was at a trade show and they had them set up and I went over and I checked it out. And
did they try to quickly attach a battery cell to you?
Because
that's what I imagine.
Because you don't walk fast enough to get a workout and you can't concentrate enough to get your work done.
But doesn't you get like motion sickness from looking at the screen and like...
Because
I move, up and down quite a bit.
They told me it would take about 3 hours to get into the groove.
Mm-hmm.
And to like learn how to type and do things.
Okay, so what if you're at one of these things and then you see something funny and you stop for a second,
pretty much.
You just fly off the back.
Well, what they do,
is there a harness you have to wear?
No.
So it's dangerous in my mind.
Because you got to type, so it's like,
you
have no harness.
You keep running forward and running forward again.
Yeah, what if you fall and you're like, then you get your kidneys split in two by the harness.
Does it come with some kind of liability insurance? Like, it's gotta be.
But, the funny thing is that he just kept talking about how companies would have them and there's incentives. Like, your company, if they buy them, they say, you have to put in your 10,000 steps.
Oh, I've been seeing white-collar employees with these pedometers on.
Yeah, so they need to steps in order, and then they get, a comp day.
But
or
people
a gift certificate.
People accept these things. Like, I'm the kind of person that'd be like, screw the comp day. You're not going to monitor my footsteps.
Yeah.
That's too much. And then you're laughing, but it's like, that's exactly what it is.
It is.
You want me to walk a certain amount of steps a day because you think it's going to, lower insurance premiums?
Yeah, and I'm going to be less sick and more healthy.
Yeah.
Well,
here's what's going to happen. You can monitor me for the day, but I'm getting 2 pap smears a year. I don't care. I'm using my health insurance.
Yeah, right.
I'm getting all the massages I want. Mental health problems. Got tons of them. Got to go twice a week.
Yeah, right.
That's included. I also need yoga.
Right. And I don't have to do it all during the day.
Yes.
So I'm going to be taking off time from work.
Yes. I alternative therapies give me the most expensive ones.
Yeah.
If I got it's and I see a lot, especially a lot of younger people doing it, people who are in their 20s, because it's not strange to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, don't put that shit on.
Yeah.
You're assuming it's just a pedometer. You don't know what that is.
Oh.
You have no idea what that piece of advice is. And we know how people who run companies can be sometimes.
Right, right.
They who knows what that thing is.
Unpopular science.
It's very unpopular.
Yeah.
Extremely unpopular science.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
So I have here it says selfish friends.
Yeah.
6 ways to spot them before you get hurt. And I have to say, I'm at a point in my life now where I'm shedding friends.
like an old skin.
Okay. Like a reptile.
Okay.
Exfoliating. Yeah, like the cold, you know, amphibious creature that I am up on a hot rock trying to warm up my feelings. Because it's like, you know, you get to a certain point in your life and you start to realize, like, these people aren't all that.
Yeah.
Aren't all that awesome. So it says here, if you like self-torture, then find and keep selfish friends around you. Having them is like pouring love and emotional investment into a black hole.
Oh, boy. Right. Okay.
So these are some, they have six signs. Number one, selfish friends think they deserve special treatment.
Okay.
The selfish friend is he or she thinks she's special. They think they deserve to be treated in a special way and were asked for favors, big and small, even if you're just starting to get to know them. I've met people like this. You just meet them and all of a sudden they're like, look, can I use your place?
Oh, okay.
That's why I don't tell people where I live.
Really familiar, really fast. Really,
and they need stuff from
me. Yeah, yeah.
Sign number two. For this selfish friend, you are a detail. After you do him a favor, the selfish friend barely says thank you. Okay, this is a lot of people.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't sound sincere, but if you try to ask him for a favor, he brushes you off and says, oh, I'll call you later, but it never happens.
Wow.
So, I'm sure we've already had this. I like this one, too. Number three, shady plans.
Shady plans.
This is a very New York thing. The selfish person can cancel a meeting with you at the last minute with fake excuses.
Right, right.
So,
oh, yeah.
I'm at the, now, if people cancel things with me a couple times, I'm like, I just don't ask.
Right,
like,
right,
don't give them the opportunity.
Yeah, that happens a lot. It's like, they'll either not answer you or they'll say yes and at the last minute, that's it.
Or they have something, they'll do something with you and it says only if there's nothing better to do.
Or they want something.
Yeah. Or they'll be like, hey, Jacqueline, hey, Katie, do you want to go to such and such? You're like, no, but how about we go to this?
Yeah, right. I don't want to go to your thing.
Yeah, it says, and also this is going, the selfish person decides where he or she wants to go and then finds people to go with him or her. That's fine. And he'll ask anybody. Just to do the thing. So it doesn't matter for that person who goes with them. Just as long as it's people.
It's just gotta be somebody.
And he's not by himself.
Yeah.
In other words, he'll hang out with you to not be alone.
Oh.
So it's like, you're the one who came, so I guess I'll still go to this cool event.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Sign number four, and this is one that I hadn't thought about before. You never meet that person's friends.
Oh.
The selfish person talks about his or her friends, but never introduces you to any of them and always comes alone. Gives the impression of knowing a lot of people.
But doesn't know
anyone. And I'm thinking, this
friends.
Makes me think of someone I need to get rid of right now. Because I was like, this person, they're always like, I know this person and I know that person. And then I thought, well, I've never actually met any of your friends.
Huh.
Whenever we've gotten together, it's always just been the two of us. Like, I hear tell about your friends. And the parties and the events that you go to.
Wow.
But I've never seen you with anybody. Have you ever had a friend like that? You've never met any of their other friends. Like, I know I keep my friends separate, but you've been to events where like all of my, like, there's confirmation that I have other friends besides you.
Right.
And I've met your friends.
Right, right, right.
But, there, you know, someone you've known for a while and you're like, no, I've never
seen them.
Met any of their friends. Ever.
That's really strange.
Yeah.
Something
to think about.
But also, I think about, like, in this area that, like, if you have different groups of friends, you may not see.
But that's groups of people. So this is someone who you always, when you go out with them, it's just the two of you.
Okay.
You always hear about all these cool things that they do with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
You never get invited somehow.
Oh.
And you never see any of those people.
So that means that you're the one that's always on the end of the list.
Or everybody's on the end of the list. So it's, you know what I mean? It's like they're only dealing with one person at a time because they're a dick. Like, this person doesn't ever have a party and invite a lot of people.
Okay.
Because who's going to come?
Okay. Got it.
Sign number five. To this person, you're boring. Never asks about you.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't know anything about you. Doesn't understand what's special or interesting about you. They keep a conversation going, but just to talk about themselves and to add their own things in. And I was thinking about this, too. I was like, yeah, there are some people who, like, I feel like I know a lot about them, but they don't even know my middle name or where I'm from originally. They're not sure how old I am. They don't care.
Wow.
Interesting, huh? Or they say, I know... You know, I just read something in USA Today, and they say, yeah, of course, but here's something really interesting. So they suggest to this person that you bring up something that's not real and see if they agree with you and say they know more about it.
Oh, my God. So they have to top you.
Yeah. So if you say like, second. Oh, I heard about this new kind of like robot that, you know, clips toenails. They're like, oh yeah, there's never happened. Sign number six.
Oh yeah, I know. Oh, I'm on the cutting edge of all the nail clipping robots.
Yes. He covers his black hole personality. A selfish person knows that if they act like themselves right away, they won't make friends. So instead they start by acting very polite and cordial. So they're nice at first. They're interested in getting to know you, and then they listen to you. But then they gradually pull away and only show up when they need something. They always have something to say, and it seems like they're open-minded,
but they're not.
They're not really. And then the bonus tip is, the most dangerous trick in a selfish person's bag is confusion. They try to get you to doubt your value as a friend. So they try to make you feel like you're not being a good friend.
Oh, like if you don't do this thing, then you know, you're not...
So it's fascinating to me because I feel like at this time, you know, when you're approaching, when you're coming out of your 30s and going into your 40s, mm-hmm. it's like a time when you really start to evaluate your relationships with people. And then you realize that, there are some people who it's like, they never invite me to shit.
Right.
And it's like, and I've never met any of their friends. Like the people who you hear from them, they're in town. And they're hey, let's get together. But it's like, well, how long have you been in town?
Okay.
Have you been in town a couple months, and then you there's your calendar's empty tonight, so you figure, hey, give me a call,
kind of thing.
Very interesting.
So you're really on the bottom of the list.
Yeah, you're on the bottom of the list.
Just when nothing else happens, they don't want to know anything about you. It's just they take from you.
But the thing of never meeting somebody else's friends is kind of interesting because it's like, do they have other friends? Or do they not think that you're cool enough to be with their other friends? Huh. And it's like, what are they getting from you specifically?
Wow.
Interesting, huh?
That is interesting.
Yeah. So.
I just got depressed.
I think it's a great, usually I'm like, eh. But this one I was like, oh, you know, maybe this is some good advice to think about things like that. Think about someone, listeners, think about someone in your life who you've never met any of their friends before.
Right.
And when you do things, it's just the two of you. And it's always my pet peeve, and this isn't on here, it's the people who will only meet you. This is not just a New York thing. Yeah. People who will only meet you in Manhattan near their apartment. They won't go to a borough. Right. They won't go to Long Island. They won't go to Westchester. They won't go to New Jersey. They won't go to Staten Island. Mm-hmm. But they always want to do things that are in their neighborhood.
Convenient for them.
Because it's, you know, and I always tell people, I'm like, it's the same distance from my house to your house as it is from your house to my house. Yeah.
That's right.
So,
and we've both been to each other's houses.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And we don't live. It's very difficult for Katie and I to get to each other, and we've done it. We usually meet in the city because we're doing something. But yeah, there's definitely think about people who it's like they've never even set foot in your area,
right?
And that's when they want to go out and do something. It has to be where they are. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really got bummed out. Got another one. This one is called From the Mouth of Babes.
Ooh.
From Hunted the Buffalo.
This sounds familiar.
Probably read it from Carlo's Facebook page.
Okay. Okay.
Carlo DiCarlo is our Nick Cage theorist.
Yeah.
And he posted a couple of ghost stories.
And he accidentally gave us a segment.
And he didn't even know it.
He doesn't even know it. That's how good he is.
So.
Put that on carrot.
Yeah. When my older sister was born, my parents moved into a small house.
Because of it. Yes.
And in that house, the laundry room was right across the kitchen table.
And in that laundry room.
So my sister would often be seen waving and staring and giggling while looking into the laundry room. Mm-hmm. This behavior continued for a long time. And when she could finally talk...
Finally, what a bee. Yes.
They asked her who she was talking to. To this, she looked at them and said, the little boy. Mm-hmm. To this, my parents asked if he was nice. And to this, well.
Okay.
She waited a moment and then replied, yes. Mm-hmm.
I like the way that you acted. I just imagine a plucky little kid like, yeah. Hello.
After this, she seemed to grow out of it and forget all about it and to my parents' relief, dismissed it as an imaginary friend.
Why? There's nothing strange about that, but go on.
Yeah.
It's about to get real strange.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, just
wait.
Hold on.
They never mentioned it after that. When I was born, I exhibited...
You mean after this? Yes.
When I was born, I exhibited the same behavior, and when I could talk, finally.
Yes, finally.
They asked me who I was talking to.
And to this I said, I like it.
Thank you. The little boy. Mm-hmm. Once again, they asked me if he was nice, and I did the same thing as my sister, although a little different. Yes, I replied.
I did it like this. Ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. Yeah. I jazzed it up a bit. So her rendition was tired, lifeless. Almost wrote like she was phoning it in. I brought it to life. Okay, so he saw a little boy.
Okay, so I did it a little different. Yes, I replied. Although, I think he was lying.
I know. Wah, wah. Creepy music.
Right.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
Crazy, but
that's,
yeah,
really crazy. I love this piece.
Jeremy Piven as Michael Bluth.
No, it would have been a whole different
he
thing.
He just has too much attitude for me. Whenever I see him, I always think of
it would be too unlikable as Michael Bluth.
Very, we're gonna get punched in the face by him now. Right. He's gonna jump up and punch Kate in the face. Yeah. He could probably look me in the eye and do it.
He's gonna
I'm 5 feet tall.
And punch me in the face.
He's gonna climb up your knee when you're not looking. Jason Statham style.